Morning. Kit's off today because she did the talk and the music last week. And I called her and I thanked her for that wonderful talk. If you haven't heard it yet, it's online, and we may have a couple of CDs left in the bookstore. Kit, our music minister, is a licensed religious science practitioner, and so she talked about their version of prayer, which they call spiritual mind treatment. And it was just fascinating. I'm glad she did it. And I thought I had finished our series on mysticism 2 weeks ago, but I'm going to go back to it today just because I thought of something else. We talked in that series about whether you can find God in church and all the many ways to experience God. We talked about prayer, especially praying for each other. And we talked about the pattern of progress on a spiritual path, which usually follows the same steps. You first think God does things to you. God blesses me. God sends me tests. Then you realize it's by me that my thoughts have divine creative power. Then know that Spirit is working through me, and sometimes the divine lives as me. Actually, all the time, the divine is living as you. We are God in expression on the earth. Being aware of that is mysticism. It's conscious union with God, or sometimes we call it living in divine consciousness or oneness. And I wasn't planning to talk about it anymore for a while until someone asked me if the five principles could be used as a path to mysticism. And as I thought about it, yes, but you'd probably have to work through them backwards. The five principles are the foundation of unity. They are our basic teachings. But more important, they are a synthesis of ancient spiritual laws. They are bullet points for the primary ideas of the world's religions. They are what spiritual mystics have known for thousands of years. So it's really no surprise that the five principles can be used as a roadmap to mysticism. But let's talk a little more first about just being a mystic. It's gone from being a kind of a spooky word to a trendy word. And it's easy for our egos to get hold of it. Ooh, I'm a mystic. Because I feel connected to God. And yeah, we all have our moments when we feel a direct, unmediated experience of the divine. We feel awe in nature. We feel we're receiving blessings or we're being comforted. Sometimes it's intuition or even voices or visions occasionally. And a number of people have experienced that sense of love and oneness when they see the web of life and they know love as the basis of all things. Does that sound weird? Because among the people I hang out with, that's just routine dinner table conversation. Somebody will say, I had a vision the other day. And we all say, really? So, I mean, is that true for you and your friends too? Okay. Mystics have lived in every century. They've been part of every religion. Mysticism may or may not include a paranormal experience. It depends on your receptors. Some people see visions, some hear, some feel. And some just know. But mysticism is a state of being. It's a level of consciousness. A mystic is in the world, not of it. A mystic is aware of being more than a body or personality. A mystic seems to know something most of us don't. They are drinking living water. They have bread we know not of. A mystic does not withdraw from the world, but sees it from a higher perspective and knows we are just passing through here. A mystic seeks first the kingdom of heaven. Nothing is more important than knowing God. Rumi, the Sufi mystic poet, said, "A good gauge of spiritual health is to write down the three things you want most. If they in any way differ, you're in trouble." Because all we really want is to know and feel our oneness with the divine. Now, that might not be your conscious thought. You might not get up in the morning and say, I really want to experience God today. But no matter what we think we want it because we are longing to be whole, to feel filled up. And that comes from an experience of the divine. Too often we look outside ourselves for something to give us that feeling, and we try to use physical elements to fill us up, material things, substances, activities. So you might get up thinking you want money or love or better health, but it's all God. Everything is. And a mystic just goes straight to the source, to be filled with the divine energy that does express as all things. You might know this quote from Rumi. If God said, Rumi, pay homage to everything that has helped you enter my arms, there would not be one experience of my life, not one thought, not one feeling, not any act I would not bow to. It's all God. So, if you want to be a mystic, or practice communion with God, or live in an awareness of oneness, is there anything you can do? Any steps you can take? This is where the five principles come in. Jerry, let's review. Principle one, God is all there is everywhere. Well, that's it, isn't it? That's mysticism, knowing God in and as all things. Principle two, we are divine beings. If everything is God, then human beings are God in expression on the earth. That's mysticism as well. Knowing our own divinity, our oneness with the divine. Principle three, our thoughts have creative power. Principle four is prayer and meditation. Principle five is living the truth we know, or putting spiritual principles into action. And I'll leave this on the screen for reference, but let's start with principle five, action, and work backwards. Because I think that's the path most people take to deepen their spiritual awareness, whether they realize it or not. You might recognize this as the path you took. I did. So most people are living out here in the world where it's action, action, action all the time. Principle five is action, but they're not living in spiritual principle. They're just always doing, doing, doing. A lot of us don't know how to slow down. We get up saying, what do I have to do today? What should I do first? And we live our whole lives asking, what do I need to do now? It's exhausting, relying only on ourselves, trying to think our way through life, acting and reacting to outer circumstances. We suspect there could be more. And really, most of us were taught something about divine help being available. So we pray, principle four. We usually start with the basic prayers. Help, thanks, wow. Anne Lamott's little book by that title described the three essential prayers. That was a series in January, I think. Even if you've never been in a church, our culture would teach you those three prayers. Help, thanks, wow. So in all the busyness of our lives, we start to add prayer when we remember it, and for sure when things get bad. Then at some point, we hear something about being creators of our own experience. Principle three. These days, that's popularized as the law of attraction. But it's so much more than that. It is an ancient spiritual law that our thoughts have creative power. What we focus on expands. It actually shows up. So by focusing our thoughts, we have a say about what comes into our lives. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. So if we prophesy for good, we're affirming what we want, and it will be self-fulfilling. And that's fun for a long time. Some people just stop right there, paying attention to their thoughts to create their experience. That law, though, is often a doorway to a new spiritual understanding. And as this concept deepens, we begin to know our power and our worth as co-creators with God. We are participating with the divine in creating our lives here on earth. Principle three is really more power than we imagined we had, and more responsibility. Gradually, we begin to know ourselves as divine. Principle 2. We're not just working with God, but as God. As little parts of God, the drops of ocean water. And this begins our mystical immersion. We're living on a physical planet in human bodies, but our essence is divine. And this is where a lot of people are working in consciousness these days, on living as the Christ, as Jesus did. The Christ is the divine in you, your essence or core, your Buddha nature. The Hindus call it Atman. We have Jesus as a role model. But even he had to practice. He was always slipping away to realign himself in oneness with the power and presence he called the Father. And oneness is principle 1. God is all there is, everywhere present. I suppose in a true mystical experience, you might not be aware of the oneness. You'd just be in it. But there are so many ways we can know our oneness. God in nature, meditation, movement, in laughing with a child, being with friends, great food or music or art. You don't have to immerse yourself in silence to experience the divine. Don't you imagine Michael Jordan felt at one on the basketball court when he was in the zone? Have you ever felt that sense of timelessness and creative outpouring when you're doing something you love? Or you're with someone you love? That's oneness while doing, while living in the world. And that brings us back to action, principle 5. Except this time, we're acting from our God self. We're aware of the divine living in us, through us, and as us, while we go about our doing. So I suspect we go through this cycle over and over. We're busily living our lives. Then we remember divine help is available and we ask for it. We realize we have power too and begin to practice creating our own lives. And then we know ourselves as God in expression, because God is all there is and we are one. Sherry, you can turn that off. All our practices and spiritual tools are designed to help us feel closer to God. Now, in truth, we couldn't be closer than we already are, but we feel it sometimes so clearly and other times feel so separate. So whether it's communion with bread and wine or a sweat lodge or a liturgical dance or great organ music or digging in the garden, there are so many ways that human beings have expressed the divine and connected with the divine. You probably know your own ways so far, but we can still try out different things. One reason we come here is to learn new methods of mysticism. Life itself is mysticism. We're on earth as part of God. I would suggest that you ask yourself, do you really want to be a mystic? It's not an easy life. Real mystics are not normal. The stories are legion through the centuries. There was one mystic who lived on nothing but wine and wafers. Mystics have had visions. They've had stigmata, bleeding from their palms and their sides, the Christian ones. They've channeled Jesus. They dance and sing, sometimes inappropriately. Some have been imprisoned and persecuted. So I turned to living mystic Andrew Harvey, a British author, speaker, and not normal. Listening to him, I think he's brilliant. And I think either he is insane or he is really tapped into the divine. Andrew is a friend of Unity. He has spoken in churches and conventions. He's been on Unity FM. By his standards of mysticism, we in Unity are just dabblers. Andrew says there are 4 stages of mysticism. The first is what we just said, opening to the possibility of being divine. Pray, meditate, invite the divine to arise in you. The second is illumination, when you know the light inside you. You might discover new powers, like the ability to heal others, or clairvoyance, or creativity. Hildegard of Bingen wrote poetry and music and an opera. But ego is still alive in stage two, and it will want to claim these powers for itself. So in order to strip away the last vestiges of ego, Andrew says you will be put through ordeals designed especially for you, life's curriculum. Andrew Harvey says this is done through grace and it's done for you, and it can be perfectly awful. This is the dark night of the soul. Now, dark night has become a cliche. Originally, it was a wrenching spiritual crisis. It's not just depression or a tough time. St. John of the Cross wrote the original Dark Night of the Soul poem in Spanish in the 1500s about the journey of the soul detaching from the world to find union with God. It's symbolized by crucifixion. The soul has to journey through darkness to purify the senses and the spirit. In the end, the divine will fill the empty vessel that the dark night has cleared. That's just stage two. Stage three, then, is union with the inner beloved. Unification, oneness, knowing God. In Greek, it's theosis. But that's not the end. The fourth stage is learning to live as a divine being, as the beloved or the Christ. It's the radical Jesus, a revolutionary of love and wisdom in action. Jesus involved himself in the issues of the day, but from a higher perspective, which is why so many people misunderstood him. At this stage, God fills your entire being. You are living at the next level of human evolution. That's divine consciousness. That's a true mystic. So Andrew Harvey happened to be speaking this weekend about Jesus showing us how to live at this level. And he said, and this is just how Andrew talks all the time. He said, Jesus knew anyone who came on this path would go through enormous struggles, and anyone who fell in love with him would be burnt by that fire. He knew that the fire he incarnates is the evolutionary fire of divine passion, divine creativity, divine prophetic courage, divine outrage, wild, profound bravery. But if you can stay close enough, you will be transmuted by that fire and changed into a divine being. He said, you do not become divine sitting on a pillow and doing yoga and breathing. Whoa. So, is that what we're asking for when we say we want to go deeper and we want an experience? We don't just want to talk about all this. Because being a true mystic often means looking crazy and certainly having your life disrupted. You are not fooling around if you really want to be a mystic. You surrender all control. You definitely have to take action in the world. You're volunteering to lead the human species to its next level of evolution. So yes, you can get to mysticism. You can go as deep as you want to, using the five principles. They're laws. They will always be in effect at every level of spiritual development. We're the ones who change, who see them differently, just as we understand God differently and more deeply as we progress spiritually. So it's worth thinking about this week. If you've been tossing around the word mystic, you really want to be a mystic? How much are you willing to risk? If you want to be a mystic, you say you want to know God. What are you volunteering for? And how far are you willing to go? Let's take these thoughts into meditation. to meditate, we relax. You may want to close your eyes and turn within to that place within where there is peace that passes understanding and where you know your oneness with God. That's the easy part. What we're talking about is radical surrender. To release the life you think you want and to receive your real life. To live at the next level of human evolution. You don't have to do it. And you have as many lifetimes as it takes to travel this spiritual path. But as we meditate today, feel around inside for your own courage, for your level of willingness to let go and be used by the divine. We are the creators of our own experience. And that power can be opened for divine purposes. In our oneness with God, we can choose our lives, or we can just show up and volunteer to be used. So in this moment, try this. Fill in the blank. I am willing to. If it's baby steps, that's okay. If you're ready for complete surrender, that's okay too. Wherever you are on the spiritual path, you are still a divine human being, one with God and all that is. And we are one with each other. We celebrate every Sunday that we have companions on the spiritual path. As different as each of us is, we are traveling together. We are grateful for the love and support of this spiritual family. Grateful for the wisdom and experience we can offer each other. We say thank you and amen.
So raise your voices with me as we sing Alleluia.